David murdered Uriah. No, he murdered 18 people trying to cover up his sin. Joab sends a messenger back to David, and it seems as though Joab believes that David is going to be angry that these men have been lost, and so he just tells him, hey, when David starts showing emotion, if David gets angry, you just tell him Uriah the Hittite is dead. But I believe verse number 25 tells us or teaches us that David is really hardened at this point. Because once he hears that these men have died, his 17 of his best soldiers have died, and Uriah has died, I want you to notice what the response was in verse number 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thou shalt say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. You see, if you just read that verse and you don't think back into the earlier part of David's life, that verse won't mean anything to you. But one of David's greatest enemies was a king by the name of Saul. Saul chased him and wanted to murder him and wanted to kill him for a number of years. He had it in for David. In 2 Samuel chapter number 1, you read where Saul dies. And what does David do? He mourns, he weeps, and he fasts. He's greatly moved by one of his enemies that have died. A couple of chapters over, you have the story of Abner. Abner was Saul's captain of his army. Abner was the one that led the army sometimes to come against David, and Abner dies. You could say Abner was an enemy of David, and how is David going to respond? You read in the text where David weeps and David mourns, and David calls for a fast. And now some of David's most choice men die. Men that have put their lives on the line so that he could be king. Men that have put their lives on the line so that the nation of Israel could grow. And when David finds out that they are dead, what does he say? Don't worry about it. It's just war. The sword devoureth one as well as it devoureth another. I believe David is hardened at this time. Right quickly, and I'll do this quickly. I want to give you three or four things that when you become hardened to sin, how it's going to affect you spiritually. I've taken some of these things from the Psalms that David has written during this time and some of the Psalms that he had written after this time. But the first thing is that hardening will affect you emotionally and physically. I've just showed you how David was affected emotionally. There was a time when he was close to the Lord and he was walking with the Lord. And even when his enemies died, he was moved emotionally. But now some of his choice men have died and he has no emotion. I've told you I love to watch murder shows. Matter of fact, every day at lunch, me and CJ, we watch a murder show. But you know, one of the things that has really caught my attention is how many people have murdered someone that they loved and was close to, and when they sit in an interrogation room and being questioned about it, they have zero emotion. I don't understand that. How do you get to that point of going from loving someone to ultimately killing them and then having no emotion when they find out? David writes this in Psalms 32, verse number 3 through 4. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the days long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah. I've said I believe that his body was affected. He's saying in this text, I had no strength, I had no energy. David might have had some kind of sickness going on in his body. He would have never believed that it was because he'd become hard to God and the things of God. But when he gets right with God and he looks back on it, He says, maybe that's the cause. He shut himself off from the healing power of God. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 58, Jesus goes back to his hometown. And remember what he tells his hometown? And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Psalms 22, verse number 1 through 2 is one of the greatest psalms. It is a messianic psalms. And here's what it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest me not, and in the night season, and am not silent. I believe it was during this time that David felt all alone. There were people all around him. But because he had become hardened to sin, because he had become hardened to the things of God, he felt all along. In Psalms 142 in verse number 4, he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. Have you ever been there? Even though people all around, he felt like he was all alone in this world. The second thing is that hardening will affect your enjoyment of Jesus and his church. Psalms 58 and verse number 8, David says, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. In Psalms 51, while he is repenting and getting things right after Nathan the prophet has come, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If he's asking for something to be restored, it means that he has lost it. At one time, David had such great joy in the things of the Lord and fellowship of God and worship with God. But now he has none of that joy. Psalms 118 and verse number 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I've said this. There is something that is unique to Christians that no one else shares. You know what that is? That's singing. When we come together, we show our thankfulness and joy to the Lord. I could spend the rest of my time giving you verse after verse after verse, like Psalms 9 and verse number 2. I'll be glad and rejoice. I will sing praises to thy name. Letter D, Psalms 46 and verse number 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Four times in that text, he says, hey, we need to sing praises to our Lord. Psalms 98 and verse number 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. I find certain things interesting. I know I don't look at things like everybody else does, but CJ and I go to Lubbock every Friday and we eat. And this Friday night, we were coming home, and usually we go 84, and then we come home 1585. And so we were making our way to 1585. We were going down 87, and it was about 6:30, and we passed Cooper's Garage. Is that what it's called? Cook's Garage. 6:30 in the evening. There's about 40 cars, 30 or 40 cars lined up on the outer road. There's about another 40 or 30 cars that's lined up on the 87 trying to get off of 87 onto the outer road. I guess they was having a huge concert out there. Now listen to me. I'm not against concerts and I'm not against going to a concert. But here's the thing that just struck me when I passed that. They are lined up. They'll pay no tellings how much money. I think somebody saw a sign the other day, $25 to park a car, and no tellings how much the tickets were to get into that thing. And I'm going to tell you, it is the pit of hell that goes on in those places. But yet, we look at it as a burden to come into God's house and sing praises to the one we owe everything to. I'll move on, because I see that's not going well. Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Had a man in our church that was the trainer, athletic trainer at the high school in Coleman, and during the summer, I would always say, hey, James, you don't have to go to work today. And he says, I don't have to go, I get to go. I talked to him about church, and he would say, you know what, I don't have to go to church, I get to go. Guess what? You don't have to come. You don't. You get to come. And it ought to be a joy that we get to come into the house and worship God freely. There's people all over the world that would give everything they had for the freedoms that we have to come into a house like this on a Sunday night and praise God. But you see, when you become hardened to sin, you don't enjoy the things of God anymore. You don't enjoy church. You don't enjoy reading the Bible. Number three, hardening will affect your faithfulness. Psalms 51 and verse number 10, the Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. First reading of that verse, you would think, hey, there's a bad spirit. There is a contrary spirit. But that's really not what it means. It means that David was saying, God, help me to be steadfast and firm and resolute in my allegiance to you. God, help me to be faithful. When you become hardened to sin, you don't want to hear a preacher preach against your sin, do you? You know why you don't want to read the Bible? Because when you read the Bible, God convicts you of your sin. I've been there. Listen to me. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to anyone. When you're hardened to sin, you don't want to read the Word of God because conviction comes. Hardening will affect your truthfulness to yourself. Notice what David said in Psalms 51 and verse number 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You see, what did David do? David got to a point where he was lying to himself. You see, David, he was the king. God wasn't going to judge him for these sins. He could get away with it. He deceived himself to believing what he was doing was okay. It was for the ultimate good. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. I close with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's kind of a deep quote. It's something you kind of got to think about, and so I'm going to read through it, and I would pray maybe when you get home tonight, maybe before you go to bed, you would just kind of read through this and think about what he's saying. He's saying, in our members there is a slumbering inclination towards desire, which is both sudden and fierce. With irresistible power, desire seizes master over the flesh. All at once a secret, smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns and is in flames. It makes no difference whether it's sexual desire or ambition or vanity or desire for revenge or love of fame and power or greed for money. Joy in God is in course of being extinguished in us as we seek all our joy in the creature. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality and only desire for the creature is real. Satan does not here fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. The powers of clear discrimination of decisions are taken from us. The questions present themselves. Is what the flesh desires really sin in this case? Is it really not permitted to me, yes, expected of me now here in my particular situation to appease desire? It is here that everything within me arises up against the Word of God. Powers of the body, the mind, and the will, which were held in obedience under the discipline of the Word, of which I believe that I was the master, make it clear to me that I am by no means master of them. The adversary deploys my power against me. Where are you at tonight? Are you hardened? Has sin just become trivial? Have you lost your joy, your passion, your excitement for the things of God? David got there. Next week, God's going to send a prophet, and David's going to repent. And he's going to cry out to God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, we love you tonight. God, these messages are not easy. As I said last week, they're not easy to preach. I don't get any glee from standing in this pulpit and preaching these kinds of messages. Matter of fact, sometimes it burdens my heart. But God, I know messages like this are very needful in our day and age especially. And Lord, it's hard for me to preach these kinds of messages because it deals with my heart first. And God, tonight I just desire what's best. God, I want to have joy. I don't want to be closed off to your word. I don't want to be closed off to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to open your word and read it with excitement and with joy. But God, I know that if I don't deal with sin in my life, that I can become hardened just like David did. Your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.